right. Hey, everybody. All right. So glad you guys are here. I'm so excited to share with you guys today. Really great honor, privilege. Really grateful for Pastor Rob, who is our lead pastor, who gets to share with us every week. And he gets those moments. He says, hey, let's have our campus pastor share. I'm so grateful for that. I get to do part two today, and Pastor Rob will do part three next Sunday, which will be awesome. And I just want to say, how many of you guys are loving? How many of you guys are reclaiming that table? If you're reclaiming it, let's go. If you're new and you're running, what does that mean? We've got cards for you at the lobby that's just saying, make the dinner table the most sacred place on the planet. Make it the most special place in your home. Make it a place that you want to be at and you want to be a part of and go for it with. So that's awesome. So we're loving that. And I know for us specifically, since we're eating a lot more together, I've noticed people are like, we're saying grace a lot more together. Like we're praying at the table more, saying grace more. You know what I'm saying? So we're doing some of that. So I thought, sometimes saying grace can be a little bit tricky. And so you're kind of, you might look at that and go and say, well, what are the rules on chips and salsa? Like, do I say grace or do I wait till the Mexican rest of the enchiladas come? How do I pray grace? Some of you guys are like, I know. What do I do, Pastor? Well, I've got the pre-meal prayer official rules, okay, for saying grace, all right? Chips and salsa, you don't have to pray for that. It's called a pre-app, okay? That's at your table sometimes before you're even there. All you got to do, just pray for the enchiladas. You're going to be fine. Okay, we cleared that up. Next, what about apps? What about apps in general, okay? Well, there's not really prayer necessary for the app because you're gonna get the meal. Pray for when the meal gets there, right? You don't have to pray for the app. It's fine. It's gonna be covered. Bread, sometimes you love going and getting that bread. They sit down and they put that beautiful, white, fluffy carbs in front of you that you just wanna ingest, right? Again, it's another pre-app. Not necessary unless it's artesian or pita. Jesus would have ate that, so you should probably pray for that and bless that as well, all right? Side salads. No need for prayer if it's side salads, unless it's a main course, okay? Then it should require some kind of prayer, okay? So here's the deal. Here's what it says, realize. It can be confusing. If you get confused, the rule of thumb is if it requires dressing, it requires a blessing, okay? Just throw it down, all right? Next, lattes, Starbucks. You're weird if you're praying for your latte at the Starbucks line. Get over it. Know what? Just take it and pray for it in the car, all right? Soup. If it's in a cup, you don't need to pray for it. If it's in a bowl, give it up to God. If it's in a cup, no need to lift it up, all right? Keep that as another rule of thumb. Hamburger obviously requires prayer. We already know that. Sliders, it's a gray area. You do you on that. It's fine. Prayer for fries. Ask any Bible-believing Christian. Fries are confusing. What do? The fries are in front of you. How many can I eat before it's not blessed? You know what I mean? Here's what I just realized. Fries, there's a policy up to three. You won't need prayer, but after three, you should probably bless it, okay? You're fine. All right. Desserts. Very confusing can be desserts because a lot of times you're just like, we already ate, we go to a movie, we come back. All of a sudden we're going to go for dessert after. We already blessed our food, but we're going to another restaurant. It's dessert. What do I do? Do I bless the creme brulee? I don't know. You prayed for it at dinner. You're probably fine. You've got desserts covered. Pop-Tarts, Little Debbie snack cakes, Twinkies. Gosh, yes, those are terrible for you. You should be praying for those all the time. Devil's food cake. You already know the drill for devil's food cake. Do you have to ask on that one? Okay. And waiters and waitresses, and I just have to say, because I was a waiter, I did waiting my whole time in college, you know what I mean? It's like, on behalf of the waiters and waitresses, okay, and you know what, here's the deal, just wait until the waiters and waitresses are leaving, because you've got them sitting there at the table, they're lined up, they got like stacks of food, some of them have sizzling fajitas, and you're praying for the nations, for Kingdom Builder to work and stuff like that. Don't make them wait, just wait till they're gone. Kids meals. Obviously, if you're an adult trying to snag a kid's meal for yourself, you know who you are because you're trying to watch calories. All right, you better cover that in prayer because you're going to hell for that one. You already know this. Who prays at the table? Well, obviously, the most spiritual person prays at the table. Obviously, if you're with a pastor or a missionary or some sort of a grandpa who's been in the faith for forever, obviously, you're going to let them pray. If you have to use the youth pastor, you can. They're not as spiritual as the rest of us, but, you got to do it if you want. Okay, so, but you know what I mean? If you're spiritually average, you're off the hook. Don't worry about it. Just get out of the way and let us more mature Christians do it, okay? It's fine. All right, we got those out of the way. Now you feel good. You know what to do. You know how it works. It's fine. We love the table, okay? I'm kidding. We love the table. It's a special place. The table is a spiritual place. And I love to eat, which means I love that the table's becoming something that we're really rallying around. I think it's awesome, all right? And you know what? The people of God in the Bible made the table. a very special spiritual and sacred place. They would eat together. A lot of times when they would get food, they would get their food, they would get their meat, they would do that. And a lot of times they would cook and eat it, and that with eating together was a sacrifice to God. So actually, because the Bible is built upon sacrifice, that's kind of it's what we do as Christians. The Bible is built upon the theme of sacrifice. So they would get their meal, and there was times for certain even sacrifices, they would literally put a table up in the church at the time, their first, the pre-first century tabernacle, and they would go and they would eat a meal, and they would say, this belongs to God, and they would literally feast as a way of expressing their, showing God that he was in charge of it, and that they trusted him. They would call that, when they would get together and do something, and it's a Hebrew word, and I want to bring it to your attention. It's called todah, T-O-D-A-H. And they would do this thing called todah, which really means when you would sit down and you would share a meal, todah means that they would sit down and they would give thanks because they were rescued from peril. And they would do this meal called todah. There was a special meal they would have if for some reason to say, thank you, God, for rescuing me. You might recognize that. When Jesus practiced todah when they did the Passover, when the people of God in the first beginning parts of the Bible, they were rescued from Pharaoh. Jesus did the same practice. When he took the bread on the night he was going to be crucified, when he took the cup, he broke it and gave thanks. That is called todah. That's what they were doing. Jesus was doing what he would have been taught growing up and what all of his ancestors through his lineage would have been taught. That's what we do when we do it at communion. We give thanks. So I want to talk about practicing gratitude. I want to talk about that giving thanks. Jesus says in Matthew 26:26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, as I said, he broke it, gave it to them saying, take and eat, this is my body. That's giving thanks. I want to speak to thankfulness in our culture. I want to speak to the thankfulness. I want our church to be a thankful church. I want your family to be a grateful family, right? We're going to cultivate that in this message today, because giving thanks is good. Giving thanks is a really good thing to do. Actually, research has proven that when it comes to gratitude and giving thanks, it opens the door to more relationships. You literally get improves physical health, fewer headaches, pains. You feel healthier. It improves psychological health. It reduces depression, envy, resentment, frustration. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. It helps you sleep better, okay, when you're thankful. How many new parents in here with new little ones are like, thank you, God, for my kid that's keeping me up at night. This is great. Yes, it will help you sleep better, even though you don't believe it, it will. Improve self-esteem, all right? A lot of times I always go to Heidi and say, you're welcome, Heidi. You get this as a husband. I'd like to, you know, and then she gives her opportunity to say, oh, I'm grateful for you, Alan. Yes, so we try to do that. It increases mental strength, okay? There's a lot of good things that gratitude is good, because we live in a culture of thanklessness a lot. I mean, have you looked on around lately? Thanklessness is epidemic. We're thankless about our leadership, political leadership, professional leadership. You know what I mean? My boss, he's just terrible, you know? Oh gosh, I can't believe this person in politics or that person. It's just like we're not very thankful for our leadership. We're thankless about our relationships. You know what I mean? You get online, you watch comedians, you watch people online, and they're just like, oh yeah, my marriage, let me tell you. Oh, you're getting married, good luck with that. It's like, you know, you just see this going, saying they're not thankful for marriage. They're not thankful about families, you know? I have a brother, a brother and sister, and a lot of times I haven't heard them say thank you for Magnus in a long time, Jesus. I haven't heard that, just throwing it out there for my children, all right? We're thankless about what we have. It's never enough. A bigger house, more money. We always want more. We're thankless about who we are and how God made us. I want to be smarter. I want to be skinnier. I want to be prettier. I want to be stronger. I want to be better, wealthier than the person next to us. We're not thankful for what we have. And I think there's a cure for thanklessness, which is developing a lifestyle of gratitude. We're going to develop a lifestyle of gratitude. Are you ready to dive in? I want us to go ahead. I want to look at see how thankfulness can be at our table here. So I want to go and take a look. How can thankfulness at our tables change our lives? How can thankfulness at our tables, as we're reclaiming the table, as you're going to have dinner later or lunch today, dinner tonight, how can we be more thankful? And I want to look at that for a second. I want to unpack this in Luke 24, verse 28 through 35. I'll get to that in a second. But there was a moment when there were two men that were walking down the road, and it's around the time that Christ was crucified. And it was at the time Christ was coming in on the world saying, I'm the savior of the world. Nothing's gonna stop us. Nothing's gonna stop us or do anything to stop what we are doing. I am gonna change the world. And what happens? Christ goes to the cross and everyone goes to the cross and they see Christ on the cross. And they're like, he said he was the king. He's the truth, that he's gonna conquer. And then they see him die and go in the grave. And it was a letdown. And it was difficult. And they're looking around going, saying, and there were two guys walking down the road to Emmaus. And all of a sudden, there's these rumors going around that suddenly that people had stolen the body of Jesus, that women went to the grave to saw, and they're like, what's going on? And there's just was so confusing because Jesus promised to conquer and to rule and reign. And they're missing out. And these guys hear about this and they meet this guy on the road. They're walking to Emmaus. They were in Jerusalem. They were part of Jesus's ministry and they become thankless and frustrated. And they're just wondering, what do we do? And they were kind of walking away from Jerusalem and they meet a guy on the road. And they begin to talk with them and they begin to share. And they said, what are you guys doing? And the guy, and they said, oh, haven't you heard what happened in Jerusalem? Jesus was promised and then all of a sudden he died and nobody knows what's going on. And it's just, it's a difficult situation. And so I'm going to pick up in verse 28. As they're walking, I'm going to read the scripture. It says, so they drew near to the village to where they were going on the road to Emmaus. He acted as if he was going farther, this stranger they were talking with. But they urged him to stay, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day's now far spent. So he went to stay with them. They were going to reclaim the table. So when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, the stranger, and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Verse 31, something happens. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us? While he was talking to us on the road, when he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose that same day, hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. They did a 180 and they found the 11 because Jesus had the 12 disciples. Judas had already killed himself. They found the 11. And those were with them and glorifying, they're saying, the Lord has risen. The Lord has risen indeed. And he's appeared to Simon. They were told what happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Isn't that cool to know that you can have moments? And this is what I want to say. I want to look at this and I want to say this to us, that thankfulness will open up your eyes to things. Thankfulness will reveal things to you. Because you look at this and you say, man, I'm looking at this going, what is the, because it's really easy to complain, but it's really sometimes hard to be grateful, isn't it? It's really easy to look at your situation and go and say, everything Jesus said he was going to do is not happening. I prayed, we looked to God, this was supposed to happen. Jesus is supposed to do the miracle. I don't see the miracle. And instead of staying in Jerusalem and waiting for what God was going to do, they start walking away from where God was at and what he was going to do. But they decided to do something. When they do this, they take on this practice of being thankful and breaking bread. And suddenly their complaining about what was happening becomes something else. Complaining means I'm more aware of the problem in my life than God in my life. And so you know what? I want to challenge us to switch to becoming a grateful family, to becoming a grateful human, becoming a grateful Christian, becoming a grateful leader, to becoming a grateful worker, becoming a grateful son and daughter, becoming a grateful husband and wife. You know what I'm saying? So let's look at that real quick. Thankfulness opens up your eyes to reveal four different perspectives. We're gonna look at that real quick. Four different areas of your life. The first area, thankfulness helps you see the presence of God in your life. God was there, they didn't even know it. Isn't that interesting? Before they were focused on the negative and on the bad and on the bad report and on the bad stuff and all the chaos. But what happens is suddenly they sit at the table and they say, we're going to break bread. We're going to toda and say, thank you. We're going to break bread and give it to God saying, thank you, God, for what you're giving to us. And at that moment, perspective shifted. Perspective shifted. God was there, didn't even know it. And I think that's real for us because guess what? You may not realize it, but God is present in your kids. You might see the bad behavior. You might see the bad report at school. You might see the bad this. You might get the bad that. But God's working. You just don't know it. And you want to know how you're going to see it? You're going to get and you're going to be grateful for your children. And you're going to be grateful for the situation. God's present in your career and you don't even know it. There's divine setups. Some of you are interning. Some of you are in youth mode. Some of you are in jobs you don't like, or you got let go of a job. You're unexpectedly, and you're wondering, where is God in this? But when you look at that, you say, okay, God, maybe there's a reason why you put me in this career, why you put me with this situation, why you're letting me go with this situation. Thank you, God. It's hard to say thank you, God, for letting this dissolve. Thank you, God, for just allowing this relationship to be here. Help me to love it. Help me to be grateful for it. God's present in your marriage. They're a gift. They make you better. That's what marriage is supposed to be, a betterment of each other. Even when it's difficult and you're just like, why is Heidi calling out all of my character flaws right now? And I'm just like, no, it's making me better. I know this. You know what I'm saying? It's worth it. God is present at your table. You just don't see it. God is present in your fears. God is present in the fears that when you're looking and saying, oh my goodness, I'm just wondering, I'm afraid of what's going on in this situation. I need God. So God, thank you that you're here in my fear. Thank you that you're part of it. Fear is faith for the kingdom of darkness. Faith for the kingdom of God is the belief that God, you are here. And part of that faith is being grateful for what God has brought you, where you're at and what you're in. God, I'm not gonna fear. Thank you for faith. Thank you for belief. Thank you for promises. Thank you for trust in the midst of the fear. God is present in the doubt. You may not see it. And some of us are like, we're not supposed to doubt as Christians. You can doubt as Christians. He's present in the doubt. I'll tell you this, never let the presence of doubt make you forget the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Oh my gosh, watch out. I'm telling you, never let it. Because guess what? When you let the presence of doubt, it's gonna suffocate, it's gonna drown out and make you forget the presence of God. In the midst of doubt, it's okay to be in the midst, but guess what? When you break bread and say, thank you, God, that in the midst of doubt, I can trust you. You begin to see, no, God was here. Why was I doubting? God worked it out for good. God worked the situation out to be better. It's good. Psalm 104 about the presence of God says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When you get in, when you praise in the presence of God, it just, you begin to see him and you thank him, you praise him for who he is. All right, number two, thankfulness reveals the people of God in your life. Thankfulness. You're gonna see people, you're gonna appreciate people and see people you never saw before. You're gonna thank them. Heidi and I do the 5 days of Alan and Heidi at birthdays. We do the 5 days of Alan and Heidi. Now we're doing the 5 days of Magnus and Anya too. We take a moment to be grateful and thankful for 5 days. Everybody get a present every single day when we do the 5 days of Alan and Heidi. And you know what we do? We throw five different parties. We get five different gifts. And then every time we sit around the table for cake, because we love cake. Clearly we love cake. That's why my pants are expanding. Although I'm trying to lose weight right now, it's fine. They come in and guess what? We sit around and we say, you know what? I'm thankful for you. Eat a piece of cake and guess what? I'm thankful for you, my son, because you are a strong, brave lover of Jesus. I'm thank you, Anna, that you're a gracious, divine gift set apart for God. I'm thankful for you, Heidi, because you are a woman of grace and beauty. So that we always build in thankfulness. Build in your thankfulness. Build it in. Be thankful for the people in your life. Your child is not a burden. You're just in a season. Your child not a burden. You're in a season. Walk out the season with them. Don't sit there and be focused on the problem. Get perspective. When you say, thank you, God, for my son, even though he's in a season. Thank you for my daughter who's wandering away. We're in a season. Okay, so we're grateful for it. Thank you for the season that you put us in, God. Thank you for the season that you have put us in. We are grateful for that. When God puts you in, another thing. And when you look at this, I'm looking at my thing. I lost my notes here. It says, your child's not a burden, but you're just gonna see. Your child's not a disgrace. God's just got him under grace. Don't diss the grace for your kid. Let the grace work out what God needs to work out. Let the grace work. Let the grace work. Your wife is not a ball and chain, but a blessing and a gift. You need to see your wife differently. You need to see your kids differently. Your husband's not a pain, but he's a provider. See your husband differently. It's not about being perfect kids. It's not about perfection, but it's about progression. It's about moving forward. Don't be ungrateful for the imperfections. Be grateful for the progression deeper into God. Keep them going in the right direction. Keep them moving forward in the right direction. Thankfulness. I remember one of the times I was the most thankful for Magnus in my whole life was when we were on a lake in DC. We were out in a pontoon boat. And I remember, Magnus remembers that, we were on a pontoon boat. And I'm just like, oh, he's a toddler. It's like, gosh, if I see one more fish cracker, I'm gonna lose my mind. You know what I mean? If I have to see one, you know, it's like only so many Matchbox cars I can afford, Magnus. You know what I mean? Let's go. And all of a sudden we're on a pontoon boat. He's on the boat, and all of a sudden, I was in the water, and all of a sudden, he took off his little life preserver, and he falls in and plunges into the water. And I'm like 10 feet away, and we're like, where did Magnus go? And all of a sudden, it's like he fell in, and I start swimming over there. The guy in the boat dives in, and we're looking for him, and distinctly, I'll never forget it. We were in this lake in DC, and we were there, and all of a sudden, it's like, we go in, and I see this little, I couldn't find him. And I saw this off-white little pale blur. And I grabbed him and I pulled him out, literally. I grabbed him and I pulled him out and I threw him up on the boat. And I remember I get on the boat and hiding like, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden I just remember, thank you God for my son. You know what I mean? I'm like, thank you God that this was his. I'm just like, what do you want? You want a motorcycle, a pony? You can ask right now. You will get anything you want. Get it, son. I don't even care. And I just remember going like, I've never loved my son more because I became so grateful because of that moment. Thankfulness reveals the people of how much you love. And it was one of the most thankful times I ever had. So thankfulness reveals the people of who God's put in your life. It shouldn't take a near drowning to thank my son. It shouldn't take a cataclysmic event to thank. You shouldn't take a bad health report, a cancer scare, a death to make you go around and say, thank you for my family. Do it today. Do it today. Text them. Hug them. Tell them. I love what it says in Philippians 4. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it's need to be. I know what's need of plenty. I learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do all things through Christ. It's like, I'm so content and grateful for who God's brought me and where I'm at and what I'm living in. Thankfulness reveals the purpose of God in your life. Thankfulness reveals the purpose of God in your life. You know, gratitude helps you see things differently. You know, when you are thankful, you begin to see purpose. We were just at a Kingdom Builders banquet. Next year, I want my whole church to go. I want River Valley Woodbury to go, to honor our greater River Valley Church. Because guess what? We sat in this and I saw missionaries talking about what God is doing across the world. And I began to look and say, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've given me. Have you ever been on a global team? Go on one. Because guess what? I've seen my awesome young people when they go on a global team and they're just like, my Xbox ain't working. Life stinks. Dear, this sucks. Pardon, I shouldn't have said that word. I'm sorry. But it's what the teens say. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a second. Why in the world? All of a sudden it's just like you go on a global team and they're just like, these kids have no idea what an Xbox is. These kids have no idea what this is. They don't have a car. They don't have they only got an iPhone X for Christmas, not the iPhone XS, the latest upgrade, and they're mad about it. I just heard a situation recently where all about, if there are some kids in Woodbury, that this little group that they're getting new kids, they're getting new cars, and one kid didn't get a new car when he turned 16. And they're just like, I got a used car that's worth 12 grand. This is a joke, Dad. Take it away. This is the thing. Put that kid on a global team and see what happens. Put your purse, we're feeding the homeless coming down to December 1st. Take your kids to feed the homeless. We're going in, get the OCC box with your kids. Do what you have to do, but become grateful. Happiness is less about accumulation and it's more about appreciation. Appreciate. It's not about the things you have. It's being grateful for what you have. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And in the midst of everything, we be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for your life. That's so great, isn't it? To know when you become grateful for what you have. You wanna know what God's will is for your life? Giving thanks for what you have, plain and simple. I don't know where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do. Start thanking God for where he brought you and see what God will do. Start giving thanks. Man, our Starbucks witch's brew didn't have enough purple in it. Oh, be thankful that you got a Starbucks girlfriend, you know? My video game crashed before I could finish the next level. You're welcome that I got you a Wii U, Magnus. That's awesome. You're welcome, son. My company didn't get the bonus, which means we ain't gonna go to Florida this year. Oh, that's okay. Be thankful that you get to go and that go on, you'll go somewhere up north and enjoy the Minnesota lakes or something like that, right? They didn't have the size in my shoes at Nordstrom Rack. Life, I hate my life. Dramatic music. At least you got shoes on your feet, girlfriend. Relax, take a chill pill. You're gonna get through it. Let's reshift our perspective. Lastly, I like to call the worship team up. Thankfulness helps you see the perspective of God for your life. When you break bread, you see not only the presence of God, you not only see the people of God that matter, you don't even see the purpose of God, but you get a different perspective. You begin to see things differently. Because when you break it, suddenly the disciples, you know what they did? They're like, leaving Jerusalem, leaving God behind, going to start a new life. We gave everything we could to Jerusalem. Come on, bro. We're gonna road trip it over to Emmaus. And suddenly something happens, and all of a sudden they see Jesus, and what do? They said, we have to go back. We've got to go back and tell everybody who we met, what we've done. Their perspective shifted from Jesus wasn't who he says he was to Jesus was everything who he said he was. When you see the perspective of God for your life, it changes everything. You get a different perspective when Christ comes in. I remember we were sitting at the dinner. Heidi worked at World Vision in orphan care for a while and food security and livelihood, actually, for a handful of years. And we were just surrounded by just these incredible heroes going out and serving in the world. And in that moment, I remember my kids would sit down to eat and they'd go, Mom and Dad, we're starving. We're just starving. And Heidi was being surrounded by stopping world hunger. And she goes, let me stop for a second and tell you why you're not starving, okay? And so we would have these kind of moments of just like, your perspective has to shift. You better be grateful for that Kraft mac and cheese that cost us $1.10 because we are on budget this week. It's amazing, right? Be thankful for what God has given you because it begins to change perspective. Be thankful for the food. 21,000 people die each day from hunger. So thank you, God, that I get to go to Tavern Grill after this probably and go have some fun, right? And enjoy a good meal. Thank you, God, that I'm thankful for what I have. Thank you for the food in my cupboard. Every 15 seconds, someone dies from no water. Last time I checked, my kids put the shower on and get it steamy hot in there for 5 whole minutes. That liquid gold's running down the end of the drain. Let's shift that. Let's see what we're doing. Let's see what we're thankful for. Thank you for running water. 100 million people are homeless right now. We're thankful for our home. Every breath is a gift, no matter what. Some of you are facing sick reports of sickness right now, and you're with family members, and you're watching family members go through something difficult. God, give us perspective on the bad reports of sickness and disease. Some of us are been in car wrecks here, and we're like, God, I need perspective on this. Because it's hard to make sense. God, and you want to be able to do that for your sickness and car wrecks? Be thankful. Thank you, God, that I could have died. Thank you, God, that I had all these years with my loved one. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I lost this job, but that you're giving me time with my kids and I can grow from this. We're going to spend more quality time together until the next job. It's so easy to worry. Worry steals your gratitude. Paul was in jail when he wrote this last scripture verse in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious or worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Man, we need to give thanks. My kid's running away. I can't thank God. I'm asking for him to turn around. Thank him that you have a son. And a daughter. Thank him that God is in the midst, that even when you can't see, he's working. Thank you for Romans 8:28 that says all things work together for good who love God. Thank you, God, for that. So I want us to close in prayer. I put this down, I guess I'll end with this. Faithfulness is thanking God before it happens. Thankfulness is praising God after it happens. So sometimes you just gotta You can be faithful in the midst, be thankful. So I just want to pray today. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes as we get ready? I want to pray for two things. The first one is, maybe you're in here today and you would say, I'm hearing a lot about Jesus, but I've never really accepted Christ before. I'm here for the first time. I've been coming for a while and I wonder why, what is all, there's a lot of celebration. There is a lot of gratitude in this room. And I just want to know, I'm interested. I want to know more about Christ. I feel like there's a life waiting for me of gratitude that's found in Jesus I never known before, and I want that. And if that's you today, I just want you to slip a hand up if that's you. If you're in here today and you would say, I'm looking for that. I just want to see it. If a hand goes up, everybody's eyes are closed. I just want to see, looking around to see if anybody needs prayer today. Just looking. One more second here. Just looking to make sure. Okay. Next, I want to take a moment to pray for this, that you might be in here today and you would say, you know what? I need to be more grateful. I'm walking through a difficult situation right now. I need gratefulness. And I want us to take a moment. We're going to pray. Can you go ahead and stand to your feet? And as you stand, if you're going through, you're walking through something hard and you need the support and the prayers and the praises of God, I want you to put a hand up if that's you, if you could be vulnerable in this moment. If you're going through anything right now that needs the encouragement and the support and the prayers of God, yeah, keep going. Anybody else? If you see a hand up, put it up high, put it up high, put it up high. If you see anybody, if there's someone, don't let someone just stand there if no one's by them. For some of our prayer teams, move around a little bit. We just want to pray for you as we close. Thank you, guys. Yes. Thank you. God, today you see these hands. These hands that are touching those shoulders are not just hands of strangers. It's the affirmation of God. It's the hand of God. It's the affirmation of God. It's the thankfulness coming from there for God. God, you are moving in this place and you're blessing those people. God, in the midst of the difficult, we don't know the need, but you know the need. So Lord, today we're asking God right now that in the midst, we're saying, thank you, God, right now that they are here so they can be encouraged. Thank you, God, for these hands. Thank you for these prayers. And if you're praying for them, just say, Jesus, bless them. Thank you, Jesus. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Move in grace and peace, the blessing and the favor of God on their lives. Thank you, Christ. We're asking God for you to move today. Move today in this place. Thank you for these families. Meet the need in the midst. Give them perspective. Let gratefulness come in every season. In every season, bless them today. Bless them today, we pray. In the awesome name of Jesus, amen, amen.